5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a mom
and a dad
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are
four kids.
So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts and we're back.
Yeah! Yeah!
Crystal and Barry Ricks.
I guess we have to be all pumped up because, you know, like football, important football games are going on today, right?
Oh, football.
Yeah.
That ball thing. Sure.
Hey, some of our listeners might be football fans.
I just finished watching Liv and Maddie. Do you think I care about football?
We love that show. Yeah. But anyway, so Barry and Crystal Ricks, we have four kids, ages 2, 4, 6, 8.
There you go.
And yeah, so we do this show for you. It's all for you.
And us.
And us.
It's like a journal.
It's kind of like a venting session, too.
Except our kids are going to listen to this when they're grown-ups and be like, did our parents love us?
Of course. We love you.
Evening.
Now go to bed.
Yeah. Right. At this moment, we hear like claw scratching on the door.
Yeah. So, but anyway, well, let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
Okay.
So, what happened to you this week? A lot more than me.
Yeah.
Well, the reason behind that is because, once again, I was out on a business trip for 3 days. And, yeah, so...
So, Chris, you have an excuse for 3 days.
I have
an
excuse for 3 days.
What about the other days?
I was here somewhere. But anyway, so tell me of your experience of 3 days without me.
Okay. Well, I don't know if these happened on the exact days you were gone, but there was one day where my kids were super, our kids, the kids,
the children.
Born, the two littles. Most of my stories now are about the two littles because they're the only ones home during the day.
Yeah, the other ones are in school.
So they were just in one of those moods where they're like so bored, nothing was fun. And finally, Lacey's like, can I have this box? Because we had an Amazon box. I don't remember why, but we had one.
Well, because
our DVD player.
Got a package.
Right. And Lacey's like, can I please have this box? And I'm like, fine, you can have the box. And then so later on, she's like, can we please take this box outside? And so I'm like, fine, take it outside. So we're in the backyard. And I hear this like thump, thump, thump. And I look out the window and Lacey's just giggling. She found this giant stick and is just pounding the box. And I was like, oh, whatever. You know, at least she's being productive. And all of a sudden I hear Jackson going, no! And I knock on the window and she looks and she goes, what? He won't get out of the box. And he was inside the box and she's whacking it with this giant stick.
Nice.
I was like, Mom Award.
Yeah. She likes to hit things lately, like, not like people, but the other day she grabbed a pine cone and a stick and was just whacking the pine cone. She's like, it won't open!
Oh yeah, she loves that. I know. Well, we always, this is how good of a parent I am. My kids love to play screwdrivers, and so...
There's nothing wrong with that.
I've had moms say that they would never let their kids do that, but... They just have their pile of stuff outside that they love to have their screwdrivers that they try to break open. Like, they stab things or they dig in the dirt.
That's, you know, our kids.
Like, it's like, I grew up, well, for a few years I lived out in the...
You grew up stabbing things?
Didn't you?
What are you not telling me about your past?
No, I'm saying I grew up out in the country and you just went outside and did stuff. So... I mean, if there weren't screwdrivers, you're using a big sharp stick.
I'm going to dig here these screwdrivers, and I'm going to go into the field and stab me some rabbits.
Exactly. See, you understand me. That's why we're married. No, I mean, I'm not a country girl. It was just for a few years. But I'm just saying, back in the day, we used to go outside and do stuff, not just play on our electronics.
But so, now I can stab rabbits with a screwdriver on my iPad.
Not rabbits, but like cardboard. That random block of wood we have outside is always stabbed. Lacey's always like, I want to break it. It's constructive.
Yeah. Take your anger out, honey. Take it out.
So, anyway, it just made me laugh so hard that she was busting her brother's box while he was inside of it.
Nice.
Right? That's what the screwdriver story was
about. That's where it went came from, yep.
But I'm like the master of the mom knock. You know, when you see your kids doing something outside and you... And you point at them like, I'm watching you, you know, and then they automatically drop it and they're like, it was him or
I didn't do it.
I am the master at that.
Good job.
The window glare.
Nice.
So, yep, that was that.
Sweet. Well, what else happened while I was gone?
Well, on Tuesday, I think.
Tuesday.
I had a friend call and ask if I could watch her kid because she needed to take a family member to the hospital.
That was Wednesday.
Okay, Wednesday. See, that's why I keep you around.
That's right.
You understand me and you know my life better than I do. Anyway, so she asked if I could watch her kid while she took her person to the hospital. And they assumed that it'd be about 2 hours, but that was a laugh because I know how it works here in the hospital.
Yeah.
They were gone for like 6 hours, I think I counted. And so they dropped their little daughter off. And she is the kind of kid that just plays really well with our kids. You know, sometimes you get those kids who are like, I'm bored, or they just fight the whole time. She was like, hey, let's go play. And they just went into their bedroom and played. And then Jackson was playing with them, but then all of a sudden I was like, it's really quiet. He's doing something bad.
He's drawing on something.
Yeah, and so I went to go look for him, and he was asleep on the floor in his room. I was like, sweet. So I had 6 hours of reading a novel. I read an entire book just laying on the couch because they were playing. And the whole time I was like, ooh, I should do the dishes. Or I could read another chapter. And so, I mean, of course, I'd go check on them.
Yeah.
Or I'd call out from the couch, you guys doing okay?
Are you still alive?
And so, yeah, I read a whole book and it was awesome.
Awesome. Well, I watched a lot of Netflix on my trip.
Yes, did.
Does that count?
Oh, yeah. What count for what?
I don't know.
That you lived it up?
That I lived it up, watched Netflix all night long.
But I do have to say, you managed to come home to a clean house still.
I know.
Read a book and cleaned.
Whoa.
Boom, baby.
Sweet. Well, I got nothing.
Yeah, you watched like 2 seasons of a show while you were
on. I did. I was watching the Star Wars Clone Wars, the cartoon, without my kids.
He's been trying for months to get us all to sit down and watch it. And we all watched the first 2 episodes and we're like, well, I don't really.
Finally, I was just like, I'm going to watch this without you. But I'm kind of glad that I did watch it without the kids because surprisingly, that's pretty violent. I do not recommend that show for a younger kid audience because, like, people get, you know, it's different when, you know, of course they're like, blasting the robots and stuff. You're like, yeah, robots. But then they start messing with like other people and like other humans are getting run through with lightsabers and being blasted. And it's just like, whoa. Like I remember the first time someone got like stabbed with a lightsaber. Like I was like, whoa, that's not a robot. So just be warned, people with young children.
And while you're gone, I watched the same 3 sappy love movies that I watch, I think, every time you leave.
Yeah, but now we're thinking about getting you some feeling.
Hello.
Which is a streaming network for...
It's like Hallmark streaming
romantic
channel.
Streaming movies.
I know.
So.
I'm excited.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, so got to read. Lacey is hitting a box. Oh, so I took a shower.
Good job.
Thank you. It was like the only one this week. Woot. But so the kids are watching a movie. I always am like, hey, watch your movie. I'm going to go take a shower. And so I get in the shower and I'm blasting Pandora. But I always play like kid songs during the day. Well, because I like the kid songs. I'm like a little kid.
don't try to sugarcoat it. That's what you like listening to.
Yeah, I'm blasting like Disney Channel music or Disney stars. And all of a sudden, Lacey comes running in the room and she's sitting there pounding on the door, just like shouting at me. But I can't hear it over the loud music and over this shower. And I'm like, what are you saying? And she's screaming like, bah, 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 bah. And all I can hear is like, uh-oh, what does Jackson do? And so... Finally, I get out of the shower and I open the door and I'm like, what? And she said, is this that song from Jasmine? Because we just watched Aladdin with them And I was like, are you kidding me?
Nice.
And I was like, yes, it is. And she goes, okay. So I get back in the shower, and somehow she found a kazoo and shoved it under the door and was kazooing along to the music. And I was like, this is torture. And so, I mean, it went on for like a full song, and I was like twitching in the shower. I can't take this.
Nice.
And so finally I opened the door and I was
no
like,
no privacy for parents.
And right? I was like, Lacey, just stop it. And so I decided, well, I'll just let her come in. Not in the shower, but I just left the door unlocked, and she just sat on the toilet and belted along to all the songs. But she can never, she's not good at knowing what words are. So she's like, you know, like just total gobbledygook.
What actually real people do in the car?
Yes.
You know you all do it.
I was probably seeing just like her in the shower.
That's right.
But anyway, it was like worst shower ever. It just killed me to see that kazoo under the door. Like, what better way to entertain mommy?
Let's blow on this annoying musical instrument.
Yeah, so I even hid it in our cup holder behind the computer, and somehow she found it.
It's like she's drawn to it.
Yeah. So, other things. I cleaned our bedroom.
Yeah, and it's still clean, and it's amazing.
3 days later.
Woo! That's a big deal, because a lot of times our bedroom becomes the black hole, as we like to refer it to.
I call it the dumping ground.
Especially when we have company over. We're like, right. Just go put it in our room.
Right. Our room accumulates so crazy fast. And I've been trying to do this, like, purging thing, where I'm going through rooms, and anytime I see something, I'm like, ooh, we can get rid of that. I just make a pile in our bedroom. And then I also made a pile of our older kids' too small of clothes. So I have, like, their clothes, and I have junk that I'm going to take to the thrift store. So anyway, it literally took me all day from as soon as I woke up in the morning to till the kids came home from school. I was working on a room, like, insanely long forever. And I'm finally done, and I go out to the living room to enjoy a Dr. Pepper. Caffeine-free.
Diet.
And I'm just sitting there out in the living room, and all of a sudden Lacey comes running, and she's like, Jackson just peed on your floor. And I was like, what? No, I just changed his diaper. And I go in, and there's like this spray, speaking of spray, spray of liquid all over the floor. And our room's hardwood, so it's
not a big deal.
Not that big of a deal, but still, after all that work. And I was, and Jackson's diaper's still on. And I was like, Lacey, and she's our fibber. So I was like, did you do this? And I thought it might be like the spray bottle. It really looked like.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no, Jackson really peed on the floor. I don't know how he did it. And so I get down on the floor, and sure enough, it's pee.
Uh-huh.
I really want to know how that happened. It was like a magic trick.
Well, maybe he like just kind of like tucked it out for a second. It's like, I don't want to get this in my diaper.
Ooh, mommy just cleaned. And so I just got wipes, and I was like, you guys clean this up. I just cleaned it here. So, that was the extent of it.
Good job.
Anyway, it just made me mad. But also, I was like, well, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
However you did that.
Magician pee.
Yeah. And then, speaking of pee, the Saturday.
Okay.
Do you want to share what we did on Saturday?
So, on Saturday, we went out of town, and we ended up babysitting 17 kids.
Yep.
So, it was awesome.
We're helping some of our friends go to a church meeting. And so we watched, 17
well,
kids.
Four of our own kids plus right. 13 others.
Right.
So
it was a 2 hour thing.
It turned into 3.5 or 4 hours.
Yeah. But it was fun.
Well, we
it was a little stressful, but that's it to be, we were expecting that.
It wasn't too bad. Yeah, we got through it. We lived.
So
minimal injuries.
Yeah. All the kids got hurt at the very last, like, 5 minutes.
No, only the babies got hurt.
All the babies. There were 4 babies, and they all ended up with a little bit of blood. Not our fault. But, so Jackson, I don't think we changed his diaper for the drive.
I don't think so either.
I mean, we changed it in the morning, and then we drove for 2 hours, and then we had the 4-hour thing. And in all that time, we never changed him. So at the end, he falls asleep in my arms, and I can just feel the sopping pee coming out of his diaper onto my shirt.
Soaking into your shirt.
Yeah, and it's like a big, big circle of pee. It wasn't just like a little thing. And what was funny, though, is that my friend, I was like, yeah, Jackson just peed on me. And she's like, oh, I have a sweater if you need to change into it. And like, it's okay. And I was like, I'm so used to this.
This is normal. What are you talking about?
And it made me laugh. I was like, wow, I really am that mom that just doesn't care anymore. Like, had this big old pee circle and I'm like, it's fine.
It's normal.
It's in style. Actually, I don't even think I changed my shirt when we got home. I think I just stayed in it until bedtime.
That's hot.
That's motherhood. So, it made me laugh that I've arrived to the, what is it, the carefree, like.
Yeah.
I'll wear your pee. I'll wear your barf.
Ooh.
Because that means less laundry.
That's right. So, something that kind of threw me off track last night, or sometime in the early morning, I hear our two-year-old, Jackson, he's, like, I hear him, you know how sometimes kids are like, and they're like, and you're like, oh no, they're going to wake up or something's going on. And so I went to go check on them and I go in and their room's, you know, dark, but I could see generally. And I walk up to his bed and he's not in his bed.
And that's creepy with the sound you made.
I was like, what? And then I turned around and like directly right behind me on the floor is Jackson with his pillow and blankets. Like, he set up shop in the middle of the room, and I don't know how I got around him or something without even noticing, but he was just laying down and he was whining because his blanket had got pulled off. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, I'm not gonna move him back to his bed if I just put the blanket back on him. I'm like, go back to sleep. And he did. But I was just, and then I found it interesting, tonight I go into his room before he's even asleep, he already has his pillow and blankets on the floor again, in the middle of the floor, to sleep instead of sleeping on his bed. And I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care, just as long as you go to bed.
See, now we're just about efficiency.
That's right.
Or
you could sleep on the slide in your room, I don't care, as long as you're asleep.
Maybe not efficiency, but like, what's best and easiest for me?
Yeah.
Me!
Practicality. Yes.
Right. Like the pea shirt and the lazy dad at nighttime.
That's right. So, yeah, that's it for our week.
It was a slow week.
Yeah. But I think we're doing things right as parents. But we found an article that maybe we aren't.
I said most things.
We aren't doing things right. We found an article that was actually submitted by a listener of the show. So thank you, Michelle, for sharing this article with us so that we could share it on the show and talk about it.
We've talked about something a little similar, some of it similar, but it's nice to bring up again.
Yeah, it's always, we've realized we've reached the point where we've been doing this show for over a year now. This is episode 54 that you're listening to. And sometimes we've got to the point like, what do we talk about? And we're like, let's talk about some other stuff. Like the same stuff again, maybe just rehash it. Or, you know, we may have different opinions on it. A lot can happen in a year. So this article was submitted and it says, physician to parents, you're doing it wrong. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, was so, I supposed to interject something?
I was. Go for it. You go.
So, basically, he says, parents, you're going in the wrong direction, and that we don't understand what parenting is anymore. And so, he gives an example.
Parents aren't parents.
The scenario that he gives is that he actually, and this is Leonard Sachs.
He's a doctor, but he's also a psychologist and has written the book Raising Kids Wrong.
He's written a couple books. But anyway, so he said that some parents brought in a six-year-old child with a sore throat into his office, and he said that he needed to check in the kid's throat. They were checking for strep.
They had to swab the throat,
right?
Not just look in it.
And the mother asked the child for permission by saying, do you mind if the doctor looks in your throat for just a second, honey? Afterward, we can go and get some ice cream. And so the child said, heck no.
The child's like, no. And the child refuses.
Yeah. So the child refuses to let the doctor look in their throat to do the strep test. And then they have to restrain the child to get the test accomplished. And the doctor said, this was not a question. It's not a sentence. Open up and say, ah. And I love how he says, parents are incapable of speaking to their children in a sentence that ends in a period. He said, every sentence ends in a question mark.
So, yeah. And so, and he goes on to talk about how some parenting experts have told everybody that children need choices. They need to offer children choices. And we agree with that in a sense that there are things that kids can choose for themselves, but then there's things that they shouldn't or don't choose for themselves. You are the parent, and you should choose certain things for your kids.
It's kind of like we talked about this a long time ago, where I would say, do you want to take a bath? When really, they need to take a bath.
Yeah.
And then they'd say no, and I'd be like, well, sorry, I have to take a bath.
Yeah, so it's you're giving them a choice when there actually isn't a choice.
Right, and he said that there's no hierarchy of parent over child anymore. It's non-existent. And so he said the problem is that we're focusing on trying to make our children happy and boosting their self-esteem. So, and facilitating whatever the kid wants to do.
Well, and we've seen a lot of things nowadays, like parents are more concerned about being their children's friend rather than being the authoritative parent that they should be.
I don't even know if it's being a friend, but it's kind of like that trophy mentality. I can't remember, what do they call it now? It's like the trophy era or whatever, where you want your kids to be in every extracurricular activity.
Yeah.
You want them to be the winner of everything. And it's not really being a friend, but you're holding your kid on a pedestal, I guess.
Yeah.
So,
Well, it's, and then he goes on to talk about how it's not about that we're spending time with our parents, with our children wrong.
Right.
So that parents should focus on helping their children develop skills such as self-control, humility, and conscientiousness. I can't say that word very well, but I got it. Meaning that they think of other people other than themselves. And we're talking about, Crystal mentioned that, you know, a lot of times parents are like, oh, you know, we have this mentality that we have to put our kids in every single extracurricular activity under the sun. And that qualifies as spending time with your kids. And the doctor says that that's not the right type of spending time with your kids.
Right. And he said that this lack of parental authority, which he's talking about how we're just trying to give our kids everything instead of saying, this is what's good for you and you need to listen. But the lack of parental authority is why obesity is on the rise, why more kids are on anti-anxiety and attention deficit disorder medication, why children have a culture of disrespect, they seem more fragile, and why American children no longer lead the world in education.
Because we're enabling our children.
Right. So here are his solutions to this problem.
Well, some suggestions and solutions on how you can be better parents, basically.
Right.
And help your children. So the first one is have family meals at home and make that top priority.
Right.
So it's about sitting around a table and talking to each other. One study found that for each additional meal a family had together, so whether that be breakfast or lunch or dinner, we're less likely to internalize problems such as anxiety or externalize problems such as skipping school. It also helped children develop good nutrition habits, lessening the obesity problem.
That's crazy to me that just eating together can make such a difference.
Yeah, well, and it would make sense that kids don't have the anxiety problem when you're spending time with them, like, around the dinner table talking about their day and, you know.
Right, because I think at the dinner table, there's nothing else distracting you besides the delicious food.
Yeah.
But that you're...
Don't bring your phones to the table either.
You're making eye contact, you're discussing things, and it is like a booster for your relationship, I think.
Yeah.
That's probably why couples love to go out to eat.
Besides the food.
Well, right. Food comes first.
Right.
Then the relationship.
So the next one is take screens out of the bedroom. This includes cell phones, computers, TV, and video games. Kids are chronically sleep deprived, which leads to poor behavior and can even be the reason why kids are getting mental health diagnoses.
Right. I've read that a lot, that that sleep deprivation appears the same, like the symptoms are the same as depression and and other things. So a lot of people are getting their kids misdiagnosed, and they're just really tired.
Well, and that goes for adults, too. I remember reading a study about it, and especially when I was going to college, there was a big thing about college students that are sleep-deprived because of their electronics, especially their cell phones.
Oh, I remember that.
And but also the study talked about how if your brain needs time to settle down, essentially. And so if you're on your screen constantly right before bedtime, your brain actually can't relax. You need to, and that's why you stay up even later, because your brain is not letting you relax.
It's
because
like caffeine.
It was overstimulated, and you have to wait even longer to relax. So, you know, that specific article I was talking about recommended, you know, not watching TV or especially having your phone or tablet close to your face, you know, a good half an hour or more before you even start getting ready for bed. That way your brain is kind of not overstimulated.
Right. So, and I do have to say, I am all for medication. I'm not saying that all children are misdiagnosed. I have seen it in my own life with family members and other things that medication really can help people. So we're not just saying make sure your kid's not tired, but I'm just saying it can be misdiagnosed.
Yeah.
The next one is put all screens in public places and limit how they are used. And we all know this already, but the life that we live right now is a virtual world. Everyone is on their phone, on their device, and they said that now children don't even know how to communicate with someone face-to-face or have outside interests and hobbies besides video games.
Yeah.
Or online social media stuff. And they said video games also rewire the way their brains work, and what they post online never goes away. And he even suggests software like My Mobile Watchdog, which shares every photo or post that they send with you.
Yeah.
I think that's genius.
Yeah, that's interesting. But also, you know, I like that he's not saying, you know, you can't do those things, but it's about regulating it. And, you know, video games and watching TV and things, they're not bad things, but when they're starting to replace real relationships, that's when it becomes a bad thing. It's okay to have friends online that you play with, but it's also very, very important to have real-life friends that you actually go and spend time with in the real world.
The thing that's hard is that we're the first generation to ever experience this. So we have no one that's like an older...
Technically, our kids will be the first generation.
Let me finish.
Oh, sorry.
Don't cut me off.
I'll cut you
We're
off.
We're the first generation of parents that are going through this.
Yes.
Like, yes, video games have been there and stuff, but we are, like, totally technologically saturated. And so we have no elders or scientific studies that can tell us how to do it. So we're all trying to figure out what's best with technology.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing.
Well, it's interesting because there was a new article talking about screen time and how because technology is evolving so much, like the original theories on how much screen time you should allow your children to have is not even applicable nowadays. And so they're...
Right, because it used to be children under 2 can't even ever look at a screen or their brain is going to melt.
Yeah, and they say that's not realistic. Because, you know, kids just pick up their parents' phone and everything like that.
Yeah, our 2-year-old already knows how to manage the Wii. I actually watched him the other day, and he got onto Mario, and he was actually finishing a course. Like, he figured it out at 2, and I was like, I can't even do that. It's just crazy. And to think that I should not be letting him do that is really...
Yeah, well, and the thing is... The thing is with that as well is... in my opinion, parents that choose to withhold like technology from their kids and not letting them learn how to use it is actually detrimental to their future because the way that they will work and even their education, especially nowadays, everything is involved with computers or, you know, tablets or something. And so it's important that they, I'm not saying that we need to have a tablet in their hand at all times, but it's important that they know how to use like a computer and know how to do these things, because in the world nowadays, if you don't know how to use a computer, you can't get a job in most situations.
Yeah, but think about the zombie apocalypse and what skills we really need to be teaching.
Well, and
them.
That's why we teach them shooting lessons on the weekend.
And fishing and basket weaving.
And teach them how to go kill rabbits with a screwdriver.
See, I'm preparing them more than the tech world is. Just kidding. But now I forgot what we're talking about.
We're just talking about screen time. All right, well, let's go to the next one.
Yeah, we could talk screen time into the ground.
That's right.
That's a hard, hard one.
Yeah.
But like we say, you're doing a good job.
You're doing a good job.
If you're trying to figure it out, and we understand.
Find what works for you.
It's hard.
All right.
Okay, next one. You have read every single one.
I didn't read that one. Okay, you read that one. You read it. No.
No, you do it.
You do it.
I'm being humble. Let you do it.
Oh. So the next category is teach humility. Give lessons that show children that they are not the most important people in the world. And we see that everywhere nowadays. Just like...
That they are the most important?
Kids feel they are. And
oh, right, right.
And it's that whole age of entitlement thing again. And kids are so... I'm not saying all kids. I'm just saying a lot of kids that I've even run into are so disrespectful to, especially to their elders or authority figures.
Look at the Disney Channel. They're raising kids to think it's funny.
Yeah.
Like, we watch... Good Luck
Charlie.
Well,
that was the bad one.
No, the one that really got me is I used to watch Jessie. And then one time I was watching it, and the whole episode was them being so mean to this older person.
Yeah.
And I found it appalling. Like, I turned it off, and I was like, wow, my kids will never watch this show because it's teaching horrible things. And I just think we are raised by the media to think like this, that you are number one.
You are the most important thing in the world.
Well, and I think this is a hard thing, too, for parents because, like, for instance, we have a specific child who is a very poor sport. Like, loses like nobody's business.
Well, no.
Or when they lose.
There you go.
When they lose, it's like, I never want to play this again. I can't do it. Or I never win, you know. And part of me wants to be like, let's just rig it so they can win, you know.
Yeah.
Let's make them feel better.
But I don't.
Well, I just think that's.
I purposely win.
I want to cushion my kids to feel good about themselves, but there's a line.
Yeah, but we also need to teach our kids that you don't win at everything, especially in life.
Right. And I think, well, and also there's other ways, you know, like teaching them to give to the needy or stuff like that.
Doing service and stuff.
So there's a lot of ways. And I love how he has like paragraphs about the other stuff, and teach humility is like, let them know they're not important.
Three sentences. All right, next one.
Okay, have an alliance between the school and you. So this one's interesting because it's, if your child did something, don't swoop in don't swoop in like attorneys demanding evidence. So if your school says your kid failed a test, then you need to let them fail that test.
It kind of reminds me of that comic where it shows the two parents and the child and a teacher, like it said, like the 1950s or something like that. And the child had an F, and the parents were like, it shows the parents grilling the child in front of the teacher saying, how could you fail this? But then it says present day, and it shows the parents yelling at the teacher instead of their child for the failing grade. And it's just like, where did that come from? It's just like, I don't feel that way, but I know other parents that I've run into, they do feel that way. It's just like, it's always the school's fault.
Right.
You know, my child is failing because of school. And no, because there's more that we can do as parents, and we are actually experiencing a little of this right now, where we're like, why is this happening? And then Crystal and I talked about it, we're like, well, we need to step it up as parents.
Right.
And do better ourselves.
One of our children may have scored pretty low on something. And at first I was like, well, the school's not teaching him. And then, yeah, but then we stepped back and we're like, okay, here's what we can do better to help our child. But so that was a hard, I keep saying that. That's a hard thing.
Yeah. But the next one is parent what they do.
This one blows my mind.
Okay.
Like, duh.
Your 14-year-old cannot go to a party. Your 14-year-old cannot go to a party with college students or to the beach for spring break. No, they will not be at parties where alcohol is served, and you will not be the one serving it. You have to think of worst-case scenarios like drinking and driving, alcohol poisoning, and sexual assault. And know that these are not decisions that they are ready to make because they're not adults. They need an adult, and that's you, the parent. Duh. That was my two cents putting it in. And even if their peers' parents are fine with something, you don't have to be. Other parents don't have a clue what they are doing, Sack says. That's why what they are doing doesn't have good outcomes. So, yeah, be the adult, be the parent, say no to a lot of things. And, you know, if your child hates you, that's okay, because later down the road, they'll probably realize, oh, wait, mom and dad did know what they were talking about, you know, especially when they have children. I mean, even Crystal and I have mentioned, like, oh, yeah, I guess our parents kind of knew, you know, at certain points in our life when they said things, are like, oh, now we know why they were like that. So, yeah. So some of those things, especially if they are new for your family, can be difficult and might be hard to enforce. But it's all about...
That last one kills me, though. Because I actually knew a kid in high school whose parents served him alcohol all the time. Because he said, they always tell me they'd rather me do it at home where they can watch me.
Exactly.
And I'm like, well, what happens on the day when they're not watching you?
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, that's just me. I think I will gladly say no to things like that. But there are other things that will be hard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I am totally okay being the not cool parent.
That's right.
Well, let's face it, I'm totally cool.
We'll be the awesome parents. All right, well, thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way. Find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. Make sure you subscribe.
Subscribe!
Rate! And review our show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.